Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Today we are coming to a climactic text, and it is Romans chapter 6, verse 11, which says, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, why do I call this a climactic text? It is not one of those verses that is especially significant to many people. There are other verses in this chapter which are better known and more often quoted, as, for example, verse 14, which says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Or we could point to verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so this is not always considered to be an especially important text to everyone, but I am convinced that it is. And why do I call it a climactic text? Well, for one reason, because this is the first exhortation in the book of Romans. And I think you will find that astounding. We have come to chapter 6 and clear to verse 11 before we find an exhortation by the Apostle Paul, who says, "Likewise also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, of course, as we have been studying through these first six chapters of Romans, we have made lots of applications and have made many exhortations based upon the teaching that we found in the text. But this is the first time that the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has issued a command, has issued an instruction, has issued an exhortation since he began penning the epistle to the Romans. Up until now, everything has fallen into the category of information, teaching, doctrine, but now an exhortation. Everything up until now has been imparting knowledge. Now we have a command based upon the knowledge that has been proclaimed. Now, sometimes people try to make a distinction between teaching and preaching, and I think that in most cases the distinctions that are made are either misguided or artificial, but if there is a distinction, it is this. Teaching imparts information. Preaching is exhortation. And normally, you will have both in a sermon. A good sermon will be an exposition of some portion of Scripture. It will be an explanation of what the Bible says. But in the course of explaining what the Bible says, there will be various exhortations. Because this is true, then we should do this. Because this is true, then we should do that. If you have a sermon that is all information and no exhortation, then what you have had is a lecture. But there is no practical application of that particular truth to the lives of the people who are hearing. And I'm not saying that lectures on Bible information are not helpful. As a matter of fact, they are. I'm convinced that we need more knowledge. We need more information than what most people have. I think we live in a day in which most of God's people are woefully ignorant of the contents of the Bible. There's no sense in worrying about the interpretation of the Bible until you know the contents of the Bible. You can't really figure out what the Bible means until first you know what it says. And I hope that statement lingers in your mind, because I think that is a very profound statement. There's no way to understand what the Bible means until, first of all, you know what it says. And the only way you can know what it says is to study it, to read it, to imbibe its contents. And then, and only then, can you begin to understand what it means. It used to be that people wanted to get to the meaning before they had any understanding of the content. Just tell me what it means. Don't bother me with all this doctrinal stuff, all this teaching stuff, all of this content. I don't need that. Just cut to the bottom line and tell me what it means. Now we've arrived at a place where a lot of people aren't even interested in what the Bible means. They really aren't that interested in what the Bible says and what it means. They just want something helpful. Just give me something that will inspire me and help me. And frankly, a lot of people don't care whether it is accurate or not. They don't care whether it's really what the Bible means or not. The standard by which many people measure sermons in our day and time is this standard: will it help me? Not does it teach me anything, not does it impart truth, not does it increase my knowledge of God's Word, not does it tell me any more about God, but will it help me? Is it practical? Well, the first thing we need to find out is if it's true. Something that might seem very helpful and very practical may, in the long run, prove to be very unhelpful and very impractical, because if it is false, if it is not true, if it is a misunderstanding or a misapplication of Scripture, then no matter how helpful it may seem to be, it is actually very harmful, because it is going to lead you astray. But I think it is highly instructive to realize that the Apostle Paul thought it was appropriate to take 6 chapters to simply impart information, to impart doctrine, to give extended teaching before he got to the first exhortation, to the first application. That's instructive, because it tells us how important doctrine is, teaching is, content is. And in a day when that is not highly valued and not greatly appreciated by the people of God, I want you to understand that God considers it highly important, highly valuable. He considers it essential to your growth in grace. How do we grow in grace? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that comes through an understanding of God's Word. So if sometimes a sermon seems to be too much doctrine, too much theology, I've heard people complain, your sermons are very informative, but they're not very practical. I think in many cases the problem is because of immature Christians who can only handle milk and cannot absorb meat, and they're not even willing to take the milk very far. They've got to have it spoon-fed. They've got to have the milk in a bottle and warmed, and somebody to stick it in their mouth and even help them to get it down. And you say, well, if that's where people are, if that's their level, then you're going to have to go to cater to their level. No sense in giving them anything that's above their heads. And actually, I'm not sure that that's correct. I think the only way you're going to get people beyond the milk stage is to expose them to some meat, even before they may be ready for it. And I find examples of that in the Bible. I think about what the writer of Hebrews did when he said, about toward the end of chapter 5, I have some things to say unto you, but you're not ready. You're still babes in Christ. You're not ready for meat. You're only capable of milk. He scolds them for it. When you ought to be teaching others, you have need that I teach you again. Shame on you for being so immature and so shallow. It's because you haven't been applying yourself to the knowledge that God has given you. But nevertheless, I'm not sticking around. And he plunged right into a heavy doctrinal section about Melchizedek, which he had just said that some of them would not be able to understand, but he gave it to them anyway. And I actually find that Christ did the same thing. Many of the things he taught, he said, you're not going to be able to understand this. Or not very many of you are going to be able to understand this. But I'm giving it to you anyway. So here goes. So I'm not sure that we are strictly biblical when we cater to the idea that we have to keep our sermons very, very light because the people who are coming are only capable of light sermons. And I realize that in our consumer-oriented age, if you don't give people what they think they want, what they think they need, and what they want, then they are likely to go down the road to another church that will give it to them. But you see, it's not my responsibility to keep people coming or interested necessarily. It's my responsibility to faithfully proclaim the Word of God. I teach God's Word. I rely upon the Spirit of God to make it understandable, to make it helpful, to draw people to it. I just simply seem to have this silly notion that if you put out the sheep food, that God will draw sheep to receive it. And I think in many cases what we are doing, we are telling ourselves that we are giving people milk when I'm afraid in many cases what we're really doing is giving the goats the goat food. But that's another subject. But now Paul has come to an exhortation in verse 11 of Romans chapter 6. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when we come to this first exhortation in the book of Romans, we find that in some ways it's a rather puzzling command. So, what is this all about? Romans is the book of the gospel. Chapters 1 through 3 talk about the need for the gospel, the sinfulness of man, the depravity of man, the judgment of God because of sin. Chapters about halfway through 3 and 4 deal with the doctrine of justification, how a righteous God can justly justify sinful people. Chapters 5 and 6 talk about the results of justification, sanctification, and the question of the believer and his relationship to sin and to remaining sin in the believer's life. And all of this is doctrine, it's teaching, it's information. But now we come to an exhortation, and Paul says, likewise also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this certainly will answer the question of the believer's relationship to sin. As chapter 6 opened, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Here's the answer. Likewise also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, Lord willing, on the broadcast tomorrow, we will plunge into an exposition of this text and then look more closely at the exhortation that Paul gives and finally some implications and applications of all of that to our lives today. I hope you'll join me tomorrow at the same time on the same station. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, email at beacon@netpath.net. Good day. May God give you His eternal peace.